Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
You may be seated. Clothes make the man. We've probably all heard this saying at some point in our lives. The quote was made famous by the humorist Mark Twain. He actually expanded the quote to say, clothes make the man. Naked people have little or no influence on society. We won't spend too much time parsing through that statement. But the first part of the statement, it happens to be an old proverb that can be found with slight variations in Shakespeare, in the 16th century humanist Erasmus, and as far back as the Greek poet Homer. Those who have employed this proverb have said more than they realize. What sounds today like a phrase from an advertisement for Joseph A. Bank is actually a biblical idea. And it does not just apply to men, you may be happy to know. It applies to women and children as well. So we're going to modify it. Clothes make the person. When I say this, I'm not talking about the latest fashion. I'm talking about a biblical truth that can be found throughout the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. I wish we had a long time to expand upon this, but I'm going to hone in on two images regarding clothing and the Christian life. The first clothing image is related to baptism that we've just witnessed here this morning. St. Paul writes to the Galatians, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Here the apostle is using the image of clothing to explain what happens at baptism. That is, when we are baptized into Christ, we actually put Christ on. We're so identified with our Savior, so close to Him, that He is described as being our very clothing. So the idea of clothing is related to salvation. This takes us all the way back to the opening chapters of the Bible. You will recall that our first parents, Adam and Eve, are described there in their state of innocency as being naked and unashamed. But when they rebelled against God at the instigation of the serpent, they recognized their nakedness and they sought to cover themselves. You will also recall that their attempt to cover themselves with leaves, fig leaves, we assume, was totally inadequate. So God gave them clothing cover their nakedness, which happened to be the skins of animals. There are sacrificial undertones here because those animals had to give their lives in order for their nakedness to be covered. Picking up on St. Paul's image, we can say that Jesus Christ is the answer to our inherent sinfulness, which is described as nakedness. He himself was the sacrifice for our sins, and he comes to us in our baptism to clothe us with himself. Many writers in the history of the church have described this as Christ giving us the robe of righteousness, so that now when God looks at us, he doesn't see us, he sees Christ. The second image regarding clothing is found in our epistle lesson today, and it's related to this first image. St. Paul writes, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Twice in these short verses, St. Paul tells us to put something on. There is our clothing imagery once again. In fact, if you read earlier in the chapter, he first tells us to put off certain things. Things such as anger, covetousness and lying and other vices. By putting off such things, we are now able to put something else on in their place. So the Christian life can be described as changing clothes. We put off our old sinful rags and we put on the beautiful garment that God gives us. Throughout the Epiphany season, we quote this text from Isaiah at the opening of morning prayer. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. St. Paul describes these beautiful garments as compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance, forgiveness, and charity. And if you read between the lines, so to speak, in the epistle lesson, you will see that these virtues come to us from Christ himself. We're told to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. We're told to let the word of Christ dwell richly in our hearts. And we're told to do all that we do in the name of our Lord Jesus. So if you put these two images together, you have a beautiful picture of what the Christian life is all about. In baptism, we are so united with Christ that he is viewed as our clothing. We're clothed in Christ. But our identification with him means that we are also called to imitate him. His character is to become our character. He himself is the great exemplar of all of these virtues that the apostle commends to us. And he gives us his spirit to begin working these virtues out in our lives so that we're called to put them on. Clothes make the person. And God has provided us with the best possible wardrobe. He has clothed us in his beloved Son in baptism, and he has made provision for us now to emulate his life of virtue. May the Spirit of God help us to put on the virtues, these beautiful garments, that we might glorify God in our lives. Amen. Now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give